Today, we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 11, Texts 1 and 2. Now, those who are students of the Bhagavad Gita, they know that this Chapter 11 is quite different in content from the rest of the Gita. This is, in this chapter, is the famous Vishwarup Darshan, in which Lord Krishna shows His Vishwarupa, or universal form. He shows what He's been explaining to Arjuna, that He is everything, not just theoretically, but He shows to Arjuna how He is everything in the universe. Arjuna saw, he is to be shown in this chapter 11, or it's described in this chapter 11, how He sees Krishna as all the forms, everything in the universe, everything is Krishna, everything is inside Krishna. Arjuna is granted that vision. Now, text 1 begins with Arjuna speaking to Krishna. Now, first we have to remember, just in chapter 10, which is finished, in the chapters preceding this, Krishna has explained that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how He is supreme. And in the last chapter, Arjuna wanted Krishna to explain His greatness. The last chapter is known as Vibhuti Yoga. So in that chapter, Lord Krishna describes to Arjuna how Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimad urjatam evava tat tat evavagachamam mama tejangsa sambhavam. He was saying that whatever is wonderful in the creation, whatever wonderful we think, whatever powerful thing we see, whatever beautiful thing we see, whatever awe-inspiring thing we see, that is all coming from just a tiny speck of Krishna's magnificence. Krishna is Bhagavan. He is magnificent. So now Arjuna will ask Krishna to show him that. He's described it now in great detail, how He is supreme. Now in this chapter, Arjuna will ask Krishna to personally show how He is the universe. He is above and beyond the universe, but yet everything powerful, mighty, magnificent, awe-inspiring, beautiful, tremendous, everything within the universe, that is all simply Krishna. So this will be explained. Arjuna Uvacha, this is text number one. Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna says to Krishna, Mad anugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatma sangitam yat tvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigatam mama. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you, Krishna, have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. So this is very important, because how did the Bhagavad Gita come to be spoken? Arjuna was in illusion. He did not know, should I fight or not fight? If I fight, it's not very good. I have to perform adharma by attacking and killing my gurus. So many bad things. And if I don't fight, that then adharma in the form of Duryodhana will prevail in the world. So he didn't know what to do. And Bhagavad Gita is, through Arjuna's vishada, Arjuna vishada yoga, through Arjuna's depression and bewilderment, Bhagavad Gita, the stage is set for Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita and give the knowledge by which Arjuna is freed from his illusion by understanding everything from the purely spiritual perspective, which is actually the only real perspective. Whatever we think of, whatever we conceive, whatever we imagine, whatever judgments we make, we consider right and wrong from the material perspective, thinking that I am a product of this material world, that is all simply an illusion. And Krishna speaks this Bhagavad Gita to take Arjuna out of illusion, and through Arjuna, he speaks to the whole universe, to everyone. So Arjuna is saying to Krishna, now my illusion is dispelled. In other words, what has been spoken in Bhagavad Gita, even up to now, where there are 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita, this is the 11th chapter, text 1, and within the 10 chapters which have gone already, and the first chapter is just an introduction, so practically speaking, the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita up to the first 9 chapters, that is sufficient to take us out of illusion. If we can just understand it as Arjuna has understood it. What else is in Bhagavad Gita is to reaffirm and to give more knowledge of what has already been spoken. The essential points that are given in Bhagavad Gita, already given, that we are not the body, these bodies are temporary, but that we are eternal soul. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. The soul is never born, never dies, nayang bhutva bhavita va na bhuyaha, never comes into being, is eternally existing. And there is the supreme soul who is Krishna. Matah parataram nanya kinchid asti dananjay. O Dhananjay, you are a great conqueror of wealth, but I am above everything, Krishna says. No one is equal to me. In various ways, Lord Krishna establishes that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. In the previous chapter, he very clearly said that aham sarvasya prabhavaha, everything emanates from me. Krishna is the source of everything. He's the source even of the gigantic Vishvarup. Sometimes people think that, well, Krishna is a product of the Vishvarup, or the universal form. But it's very clear from Bhagavad Gita that the Vishvarup, that's also coming from Krishna. And even in the Vedic scriptures, there's a description of the gigantic Mahavishnu form, from whose he's so huge that when he breathes out from his hair follicles, the universe is in seed form emanate. And when he breathes in, they go back in again. This is beyond our telescopes to discover. We have to discover this from the Vedic literature. But even that Mahavishnu is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. So this is the essential point to be understood. Now, Arjuna, he says, Mad anugrahaya paramam, by your supreme mercy upon me, Guhyam adhyatma sangitam, you have made me understand this very confidential spiritual knowledge. Arjuna has understood it. So, Arjuna now, he's convinced, moha yang vigatam mama, that my illusion is now gone. Now I understand very clearly. I thought I understood before, but now I clearly understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, he is the source of everything, and that we simply have to act according to Krishna's direction. So Arjuna has understood this. That means he no longer thinks of Krishna as he Yadava, Yadav. Arjuna used to say to Krishna, oh, you are Yadav, oh, you are my friend. This will come up later in this chapter. Arjuna becomes a little repentant, that I used to think of Krishna as just my friend or a human being. I didn't really understand how great he is. Krishna has spoken the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and he's realized it. But in this chapter, we'll see how Krishna reveals his universal form and then Arjuna really realizes it. Philosophically, he's understood now. Oh yes, Krishna is supreme. But when he sees the universal form, then he becomes overwhelmed. Oh, he sees in one place all the figures of the universe. He sees time, he sees death, He sees all the planets, everything entering into Krishna. And he becomes actually very afraid. Oh, Krishna, my friend, but he's so great. So Arjuna's illusion is removed. He no longer thinks of Krishna as an ordinary person or even as a great person of this world, but he understands that Krishna is that person who is the cause of all causes, and that even the great demigods and even Lord Brahma, who is he's called the creator of the universe, he's like the engineer who organizes all the ingredients of the universe into the planets as we see them now. So Krishna is the cause of all causes, and Arjuna has realized this, but he's thinking, Arjuna being a Vaishnav, a great devotee, he's thinking of others' benefit also. He's thinking that, yes, I've accepted this, and that is Krishna's great favor upon me, but others should accept this also. Others should also be benefited by understanding that Krishna is supreme. And therefore, in this chapter we'll find that Arjuna asks Krishna that, can you please demonstrate this? I'm convinced. I'm not anymore in any illusion. I understand that you, my dear friend, Krishna, you're my dear friend, but you are simultaneously the supreme personality of Godhead and the cause of all causes. You please demonstrate this, show this, so that others in future will also accept. Arjuna is philosophically convinced. He's very intelligent, but most people, they want to see. People say, can you show me God? Of course, even if God is shown to us, do we have the eyes to see? Can we recognize if we see Him? That recognition has to come through bhakti, through submission. When God blesses us, when Bhagavan blesses us, then we can see Him. Of course, we have to do bhakti to get that blessing. But people, because we're on this, we're in this material world where we judge everything through our senses. So unless we can see something or touch it, then we tend not to have faith in it. It's very unfortunate. People, especially in the modern age, are on a very gross platform. And they even teach you in the schools that you only believe what we can scientifically demonstrate. Although there are so many things which will never be scientifically demonstrated, because material science is only material. And spiritual understanding is something completely, it's on a higher level. It's beyond the material senses. So axiomatically, that which is spiritual cannot be understood by any material means. We have to take to a spiritual means. So anyway, Arjuna, understanding all these points, he's requesting in this chapter, he will request Krishna, you show your universal form. I understand. You are the source of Mahavishnu. You are the cause of all causes. All the demigods are praying to you. Yang Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stundanti, Divyai, Stavai. All the great demigods who are far more powerful than the great powerful people of this world with their space rockets and their bazookas and their computer-guided missiles. The demigods are far, far more powerful than all the armies of this tiny little planet put together, but they are all offering prayers to Krishna because He is far more powerful than them. This will be demonstrated in this chapter. Arjuna wants Krishna, you show this. At least it will be recorded. Vyasadeva will record it. And then in future, if anyone wants to say, I'm God, they'll say, well, can you just show your universal form? So Arjuna, being very kind, this is the symptom of a Vaishnav, that he always thinks of the benefit of others. So he wants that others will also accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead. And therefore, he asks Krishna to demonstrate his Vishvarupa, his universal form, which is something quite amazing. It'll be described in this chapter. But actually, if we have a higher realization, we will understand that the two-handed form of Krishna, as he appears on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as Partha Sarathi standing before Krishna, or as he appears in Vrindavan, holding his celebrated flute, this form is even more remarkable than the Vishvarupa, than the universal form. The universal form definitely is remarkable. But even more remarkable is that he who is all-powerful, all-magnificent, all-pervading, all-dominating, all-worshipable, the cause of all causes, that he, out of his love for his devotees, he prefers to take what appears to be like a human-like form so that he can reciprocate with us. He accepts our bhakti. He loves, he plays with his devotees. And this we'll find in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna demonstrates the Vishvarupa, the universal form, and then again shows his original two-handed form. He shows his four-handed form and then his two-handed form, which is most dear to Arjuna. Arjuna saw the universal form for some time, but his loving feelings were not awakened by that. He wanted to see Krishna in the two-handed form. It's amazing. Krishna and Krishna Bhakti are so wonderful that Arjuna now understands that Krishna, he's not just my friend. He's the supremely powerful, opulent person. But then ultimately, Arjuna wants to have Krishna again in the two-handed form so that he can interact with him as a friend. Because Krishna is our best friend. Isn't this wonderful? People think that the Vishvarupa is the most important thing in Bhagavad Gita, but no. Even more wonderful than the power and the might of Bhagavan is the love that he demonstrates toward his devotees and the love that they show for him. And this is expressed in the second verse. Arjuna, second verse of this chapter, Arjuna says to Krishna, Bhavapya yohi bhutanam shruto vistarasho maya tvatta kamalapatraksha mahatmyam apichavyayam. Arjuna says to Krishna, O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. So Arjuna, in great happiness, is addressing Krishna as Kamalapatraksha, whose eyes are as beautiful as lotus petals. There are many such names for Krishna, Padmanetra, Ambujaksha, because in Sanskrit there are many words for lotus and there are many words for eyes. So these two words are combined in different ways to mean lotus-eyed. And this means someone whose eyes and whose whole being is very, very beautiful. Padmalochan, another common name for Krishna. So out of great joy, Arjuna is addressing Krishna. Oh Krishna, you are so beautiful. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're my friend. You're so kind to me. You're so merciful. You're so powerful. But still, out of your great kindness upon me, out of your love for me, you have agreed to drive my chariot. Krishna is famous as Partha Sarathi. Krishna has millions of names, unlimited names. People say God has no name. He has millions of names according to his brilliant transcendental qualities. So here, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Kamalapatraksha. O you who have eyes as beautiful as that of a lotus petal. Arjuna is appreciating Krishna. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna is already a great devotee, even before hearing Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, why would Krishna agree to drive his chariot? He doesn't drive his chariot for anyone. He doesn't drive anyone's chariot. He becomes the servant of his devotee out of great love. So Arjuna is already a great devotee. But by hearing Bhagavad Gita, his appreciation of Krishna, it increases hundreds and thousands of times. He appreciates that this Krishna, who is so beautiful, who is my friend, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is so kindly speaking Bhagavad Gita to us. So, we can also take advantage. Just like Arjuna wanted Krishna to exhibit the universal form so that people in future could appreciate that Krishna, yes, he actually is all-powerful. He is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the same way, all devotees, they desire that everyone suffering in this material world appreciate the glories of Krishna, that they also, like Arjuna, call out in great joy, O Krishna, O Kamala Patraksha, O Lotus-Eyed One, that everyone appreciate Krishna and come to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So for the same purpose, our most worshipable Parampuja, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has compiled this Bhagavad Gita as it is, illuminating the glories of Krishna, illuminating the glories of Bhagavad Gita, illuminating the glories of Arjuna. So if we have some appreciation of Krishna, which I'm sure, my dear viewers, you're all having, otherwise you wouldn't be watching this program, you're appreciating Krishna. So please take advantage of this Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada. Read it regularly. Even if we read Bhagavad Gita 10 times a day, still our appreciation of Krishna will increase more and more and more and more. Krishna's great gift, not only to Arjuna, but to everyone, is this Bhagavad Gita. So let us take advantage of it. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.